This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. A setback for the White House as a federal judge now prohibits the deployment of any state's National Guard to Oregon. ABC's Alex Stone reports.
The Trump-appointed federal judge who on Saturday said Oregon's National Guard was barred from being deployed by President Trump because his allegations of chaos in Portland and it being war-ravaged were, quote, simply untethered from the facts, end quote, was clearly frustrated as she held an emergency hearing on Sunday night. It came after the Trump administration tried to send into Portland National Guard troops from California and Texas instead.
Entering day six of the government shutdown, and there's still no movement on a funding deal. Democrats have been holding out on health care issues, looking to reverse recent cuts to Medicaid. Republicans say they're open to talking about it, but they want to vote on a short-term spending measure first. And negotiators are gathered in Egypt for indirect talks to end the war in Gaza. This is ABC News. A tragic scene in Tennessee this weekend when a skydiving event went horribly wrong. Authorities are now investigating a tandem skydive that left one instructor dead and another man stuck in a tree for hours. ABC's Faith Abube reports.
Police say the skydiver became lodged in a wooded area after he was separated at the plane from a tandem rig with an instructor. Firefighters eventually used a pulley system to get him safely to the ground. Police say the instructor presumed to have fallen without a parachute. A police helicopter later locating the 35-year-old instructor. He did not survive. Authorities now piecing together what caused the deadly incident.
Taylor Swift definitely topped the music charts this weekend with her 12th studio album, The Life of a Showgirl, and she took home the highest gross at the box office as well. The film companion to the album, The Release Party of a Showgirl, earned $33 million. I'm Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The incomparable Jane Matner. You're a coffee drinker.
I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning for most of my career. Yeah. You need coffee.
Something.
Or a slap across the face or something. How much coffee do you drink a day? How many cups
not
of coffee?
Not as much as you might think. Maybe 2 16-ounce cups, more or less. Maybe not quite that much some days.
Zahmer, is that true?
I mean, from what I can verify, I don't know what he drinks in the privacy of his own home.
No one knows.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
The Brewers and the Cubs tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from American Family Field, where it's game two of the National League Divisional Playoffs. The Brewers winning game one 9-3, but Jackson Chourio had to leave with a hamstring injury. Pat Murphy on his status.
The MRI came back, and it's inconclusive, and it's not a serious hamstring strain.
The Brewers jumped out to a 6-1 lead in the first inning Saturday. Cubs manager Craig Counsell.
Look, the game got away from us early, so it's not like it did, right? It got away from us, so... And it's a loss, and you move on from it quickly. There's no penalty. It's one loss. Doesn't count for more how you lose. We didn't lose well, but we lost, and you move on. That's how the clubhouse felt.
NBA, the Bucks are in Miami for a preseason game against the Heat. Giannis is now with the team after a bout with COVID.
He took a toll on my body. I'm not feeling 100% yet physically. Take it day by day, get back in shape.
That's Giannis Antetokounmpo with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Mostly cloudy and much cooler today with scattered showers from time to time, maybe a rumble of thunder as well, a high of only 63. A lingering shower possible this evening, otherwise mostly cloudy and crisp with a low of 43. Sunny and pleasant on Tuesday, a high of 65. Currently, it's 55 degrees.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, we'll talk about one of Donald Trump's more puzzling budget cuts impacting the education of deaf and blind students in Wisconsin.
for real.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Dr. Kristen Lierley.
At what point are we as a society going to stand up and say, hey, wait a minute, something's wrong here? This is just the latest attack on women, on trying to control our bodies. They want women to have more babies. They don't want us to have birth control. They don't want us to get abortions. They don't want us to take medications. They want us to be in pain. They don't want us to have hospitals to be able to go to. They're defunding all of our rural hospitals.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who considers a silver medal a participation award, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. The Friday night version of the show. I almost morphed into an Italian accent there, Conrad.
Well, let's hear it.
A Friday night, a version of a nightlight.
Please don't do that again.
That was spot on. Come on, man. Welcome, folks. I am Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. We are hoping to take you into your weekend tonight with 2 hours of all-out, unabashed, unedited fun. Well, partially edited. Lots of stuff going on tonight. I did it again. Lots of stuff onto the show tonight.
What's up with you today? Did you have an Italian meal or something? Have a lot of pasta?
You know what I think it is? I think I had, like you said, we were talking about earlier, I had too much caffeine, and it's too damn hot out. I'm just grouchy. I don't know what it is, but I...
Do you have warm coffee on a hot day?
I do.
That's your problem.
I like how... Well, I don't know if you need to escalate it like that. yeah, I do. I don't know. I like hot coffee. I'll drink a cold coffee, but I prefer the hot.
Well, mine has to be like ice cold.
On a hot day, but what's your temperature cutoff? I mean, are we talking 60 here, 80, or what?
All right, so I'm the opposite way, probably. I'll drink cold coffee in the winter.
Even in the winter? Wow. Yeah. I think the whole point of coffee is to kind of warm your soul a little bit in the morning.
I think it's for the caffeine.
Yeah, but you could do that. You could take a pill for that.
Well, it's not as fun.
Or a Red Bull.
Well, it doesn't taste as... Oh, Red Bull is, you know... You remember how you tried Red Bull that
in
one
coffee.
Time? And you're like... A little too sweet for me.
Yeah,
I don't
like it. I don't drink some water and go to bed. Get some rest and hydrate. There's no point. There's no reason for anyone to drink Red Bull.
Yeah. In college, I drank a lot of Red Bull.
Really?
Well, honestly, Red Bull trucks would come like every week. You know, like, or not trucks, the little cars that have the Red Bull thing in the back.
Those, yeah.
And then they'd be like, you want a Red Bull?
First one's free.
And I'm on my way to class. I'm like, yes, I will take one. Please.
And they're free, and that's how they hook you. It's like a drug dealer. I mean, I'm just saying.
Red Bull drug dealer.
That's how I got in, you know, that's how I developed a crack habit. So, on the way to class, hey, what do you got there? Fun show tonight, folks. We're going to talk a little golf, a little kids golf, a great program that is happening right here in Northeast Wisconsin. It's a national organization, but we have a chapter here in NEWI called First Tee. John Sabo will be here at 6:35. He is the executive director of the Northeast Wisconsin branch of First Tee. So we'll talk to John. They do some really great things for youth, the youth of America. Won't anybody think of the children? Well, First Tee is. And John will be here at 6:35. And then it is a bar band Friday night, 7:35 tonight, folks. You know the time, you know the place, and you know the guest, Terry Barr, co-host of Max Inc. Radio on WMDX, which you can also hear on the podcast at civicmedia.us. She will be here. She's our Wisconsin music expert, and she's featuring, well, tonight, we have an artist from Madison she's going to bring us, and one from Northeast Wisconsin here, who we've met.
The show.
They're great.
On the show.
Maybe not even a month ago.
They did a live performance.
Two. They rocked it. Yeah, and, it was awesome.
It was great.
Love these guys. So it'll be fun to talk about them again with Terry. I'm anxious to get Terry's take on them too because, you know, Terry brings us so much music over the last 2 years. I think we might have, and a couple times we introduced her to someone. So that sounds kind of fun. And it might be the case with Horace Green.
Yes. Yeah. You know, as soon as they were done, I texted her. I was like, these guys
gotta
are
hear
awesome.
These guys. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, they have such a unique sound. That's why I really like them.
Oh, totally. They're like mixing different, like, it's kind of got some funk, it's got some psychedelics, some rock, some indie roots. It's just great stuff. And her second artist tonight, Shikari Desher, I don't want to say too much. We'll let Terry get into all that. But they're both great. So stick around for Bar Band Friday night, folks, at 7:35. And I want to get this out of the way because I thought this was a cool thing. We have a friend who is next door at Rising Grand Coffee, Jocelyn. She brings us free coffee once in a while, you know. And I'm happy to pay for it because she makes outstanding coffee. I make it sound like she's bringing us free. She's given me like two free coffees. To be honest, she hasn't.
She hasn't given me one. Yeah, so
she could step it up a little bit. We like them a lot. They have great gelato, great coffee. And her family is having a kind of a fundraiser this weekend. But anybody is welcome. It's October 4th, that's tomorrow, at 1264 Braden Lane in De Pere, Wisconsin, 54115. Look it up on your on the Apple Maps, the Google Maps, or your Atlas, or your Thomas Guide. It starts at 12 p.m. until the food is finished, and this poster I'm looking at is outstanding, and they're trying to raise money for a family member who needs a lot of money. They don't have health insurance, and she's got Lyme disease, so I told Jocelyn I would put this out there. And if you want to go and have some food, it goes to a good cause, and it just looks outstanding. If I lived in Green Bay, I would go to this. I'm not saying it's not worth the hour drive to come back from Maryland, but on a Saturday. Like, if it was right after the show, I'd be over there mowing these tacos because this poster looks amazing. If I send this to you, Con, can you put it up on the stream?
Yes, I can.
All right, let's do that. Jocelyn's worth it, even though she brings me free coffee and not you.
Yeah, it's all right. It's all right.
No, she's
she gives me free water whenever I go over there. So
no, they're awesome. She and Abdi, her husband, it's a great business, Rising Grind. Check it out. But there's the poster, kind of just shared it. And if you're around in De Pere tomorrow at noon, great food and really nice people, and it's for a great cause. So check it out if you're so inclined. I got this thing here. I got to move this from the stream. There you go. There it is. There's a poster. If you're watching on the stream, you can check it out. That food looks amazing.
Yeah, that looks tasty.
See, now if I'm you, a young single guy with an appetite, Con, huh? Go get yourself a couple tostadas.
Yeah. Sounds pretty good.
I've heard there are going to be a lot of single people there. I'm just saying. I'm not trying to like, I'm not that guy. I'm just saying. My wife went through that phase when we were like in our 20s. She's trying to set everybody up. I'm like, you got to tone it down a little. Sometimes people don't want that. I had a thing. I was sitting on my porch today kind of prepping the show, and I realized something about myself. I think I would rather be attacked by a mountain lion than have just some little thing that flies land on me.
Okay.
That can do no damage even if it tried. I don't know what happens to me. I call it bug spazzing. Something lands on you, and I literally freak out.
But what if a mountain lion lands on you?
At least I see it coming.
You're done.
No, I do the thing where I stick my forearm way down its throat so it can't bite me.
You know, that could mow your arm off right there.
It could. But it's easy for me to say that because there are very few mountain lions in Marinette, Wisconsin.
You never know.
One a month. Tops.
You never know.
Exactly. So I gotta calm down because it's not really, it's like, it can't even hurt you or anything.
No.
It's just like it was like a fly or some type of horse fly or something.
You know, the one, okay, when it's like this type of weather,
yeah,
and it's those like swarm of like little tiny bugs.
Like the gnats or the mayflies.
And you accidentally like walk into it and all of a sudden they're just all over you.
It's horrible.
That's terrible.
You know what I did about a week and a half ago? I walked toward my sliding doors to get out to the porch. And I walked through a web, but it was all sticky.
Oh.
And a friend of mine said that's when they literally spun the web.
So you just destroyed the home.
I did, and I didn't think about it. And then later, I think it was the next night, I look up and there's a spider web huge spider inside my house.
Oh.
And I still couldn't, I just wrapped it up and put it outside. I'm sure it's already moved back in.
You know, I have one when I lived in Milwaukee that would be on my car mirror, like the left
mirror. Yeah.
And it just, every morning I'd go out there and there'd be a new fresh
What is
web.
The deal? Why do they do, I know that happens in my mirror too.
I think you can get under, you know, get behind that mirror.
Yeah.
And then they like kind of burrow in there.
Creepy.
Yeah, but every morning I'd be like, all right, well, I'm going to wreck your home today.
You're a home wrecker. Hey, let's get to our nightlight question of the night. We got a good one. Here it is.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
Question. Question.
Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Okay, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What celebrity do people tell you look like? Or what celebrity do you wish you looked like? What celebrity do people tell you look like, and what celebrity do you want to look like? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us on the app. We love getting texts on the app, and you can also drop us a stream comment at YouTube, Facebook, or X, or Twitter, or whatever, or Friendster. Drop us a stream comment. We will read it on the radio, and let's have some fun with this. I'll go first, and I said this on social media too. When I'm in shape, I hear Sean Penn a lot. When I'm not in shape, I hear Chris Penn, his fat brother.
Oh, no. So,
it's terrible, but it's like, yeah, I'm one of those people when I put on weight, I look like a different guy. It's not even like, you wouldn't look at me and go, is that Pete? But with a few extra pounds, you go, who is that? You know, some guys get like, they get a little paunch, but their face looks the same. Nope, not me. I go full Chris Penn.
I have a picture of Chris Penn.
Put it up.
Pulled up.
Do it.
I have it.
Great actor.
I'm just looking at you and going back and forth.
And I'm not Chris Penn Footloose. This is Chris Penn like, was he in Reservoir Dogs?
I didn't even know Sean Penn had a brother.
Oh, he died in like 06. There. Did you have to find the fattest picture of him? Like he's a better looking guy than that. Yeah, but that's honestly, and I've heard when I was younger, I used to hear Michael Douglas a lot. I'd hear Don Henley, and none of them I minded. You know, Michael Douglas, a handsome enough guy. But I was on, they call it the incline in Pittsburgh. You go up the hill. And it's like what the miners used to ride. So I'd go up the hill to the condo. I was probably 26, and there were these two girls that were like, you're Michael Douglas. Are you Michael Douglas? Why are you in Pittsburgh, Michael Douglas? I go, Michael Douglas is like 60. I might look like his younger brother, but honestly, do the math here. Terrible. See, there's a lot of nice pictures of Christopher Penn you could have picked, Conrad. That was really mean. What did you say?
I said Ryan Gosling.
Oh, I can see that. I couldn't even joke about it. My God.
I said Ryan Gosling, you know, but, you know, the celebrity I wish I looked like, The Rock. But right now he looks more like The Pebble, so.
Yeah. You'd rather look like The Rock than Ryan Gosling?
Yeah.
You could pass for Ryan Gosling right after he was born. You look like baby Ryan Gosling.
You know,
those are both good looking guys.
I did have someone say something really, really mean to me once, and it hurt my feelings. It was someone I've never met. They just texted me, you know, on one of the dating apps a while ago. And it said, hey, you look like someone. I said, okay, who's that? And they said, Josh Gad. And I said, please never text me again.
You know what you should have said? Let me ask you this. Can Josh Gad bench 250? That you got to think, you know, own it, man, and go back at him.
You know, Josh Gad he's pretty funny, but.
Oh, yeah, very talented guy.
I said, all right, it's time to get in shape.
Sometimes you need that wake up call. The worst I ever heard was Bob Green, who was a columnist for the Tribune, and he looked like, well, like Chris Penn's cousin. But that's all right. You're right. That you use that as motivation to get in shape. So that's our question of the night, folks. Have fun with it. What celebrity do people tell you look like? What celebrity do you want to look like? Let us know. We will read your text on the radio. When we come back, I'm going to tell you something about Peaky Blinders, and we'll talk some Cubs and Brewers. It's Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
love, you feel joy, you feel pain, cause nothing will be the same. Just another night, it's all that it takes to understand the difference between lovers and fate.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
State Representative Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner talking about this new piece of legislation in regards to housing. And who have you reached across the aisle and worked with on this issue?
I worked with folks like Rep Armstrong, who our districts couldn't look any different. But when you center the actual experiences of your district, not your political parties, but the things that people need, there's a lot more alignment and possibility when that is the centerpiece.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabe. This is Nightlight. We're going to talk about golf and a great kids program regarding golf at 6:35 with my first guest, John Sabo. That's coming up. He is part of a group, the executive director, I believe, of this area's chapter called First Tee. John will be here in studio. That will be fun. Our question of the night is, what celebrity do people tell you you look like? What celebrity do you want to look like? And, you know, this is your blank canvas, folks. So make yourself pretty if you want, or outrageous, or whatever you think. Let us know what you think about that. Elon Musk is trying to cancel Netflix, apparently. He has 227 million Twitter X followers.
I saw that post today. I redownloaded Twitter today.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because my friend told me, he messaged me on there, and it was a, he's like, super fun. You got to download it again. Wasn't that good. Not gonna.
Now you're back on Twitter.
Now I'm just here.
I don't know. I just turned it off. Don't watch it. He even has it. He said they're like trying to indoctrinate kids through their programming. I mean, there's got to be a billion shows on Netflix.
Yeah.
If there's 1,000 of them that have a gay theme or honestly.
You could say that about any streaming platform right now.
Any streaming platform.
Yeah, I don't.
And do they not have the right to make those shows? Should those people not be represented in anything? It's ridiculous. And he has a trans daughter, and most of his kids, by whatever, don't even know him.
I think after you name your kid like XYZ452.
Oh, yeah.
I think you lose all rights.
He's right up there with Nick Cannon. they probably get together and have tea and talk about kid names.
Nick Cannon has made better names than Elon Musk, I'll say that.
Well, they're definitely. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, Elon's kids' names are out there. Are you a Peaky Blinders fan?
I am not. I actually have never seen it.
I have to be. I liked the first season, and I just never went back to it. But I think I am going to start watching it again. I kind of need a new show, and I think I might check that out. And there's a movie coming out, and then two more seasons of a prequel or sequel. And there's like five seasons of it I haven't watched. And it's considered, it's in the conversation as one of the best shows. So I didn't feel that way about it when I watched it. I liked it, but I don't know. All right. Go ahead.
I was going to say, remember when we did that question where it was mediocre shows or sitcoms, you know?
Yeah.
One of them that came up a lot was Two Broke Girls. I was like,
oh, yeah.
I've never seen it. So it's on the Roku. So I was like, oh, I'll watch an episode. I understand completely after
was it really bad?
It is so bad. The acting in it is terrible. Like, they try to make a joke, and then it stops for a second. Like, almost like they're looking at the camera like,
oh, no.
It's so bad.
It looked bad. And there was that other show that came out, and then Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23 or something like that. Then there was another WB show called Zoe Duncan, Jack and Jane or something. There were all those, like, there's a whole bunch of, like, kind of mediocre sitcoms in the 90s. And most of them didn't last long. And a lot of them, they needed content. Like, on networks like the WB or UPN at the time, they needed content. But they put out some very mediocre shows. All right, Con, when I left here last night, I don't know if the Cubs were about to win or had just won, but I know the Cubs pitcher beamed two guys.
Yeah.
Craig Counsell left. After you bean one guy in the ninth, you get him out. I don't think the guy's not up for it. Get him out of there. Counsell kept him in. I think it was the same guy beamed two guys.
Yeah.
And then he yanked him finally, and the Cubs held on to win. But you said you were nervous. Are you really... I mean, I know the Cubs won the season series, but it was like by a game. And I feel like the Brewers came on strong. And I'm saying this as a Cub fan. The Brewers came on strong. They were the best team in baseball the last half of the season.
Well, yeah. Yeah, you know, it's just it's a rivalry. So, you know, they're both going to be coming in just wanting to beat the other team super, super bad.
It is kind of sweet that we have no... Well, you'll watch football anyway, but like the Bears or the Packers aren't playing.
Yeah,
we get the Cubs and the Brewers. And it's going to be a gorgeous weekend. Like, this is bring on the bye this weekend, as far as I'm concerned, because you got playoff baseball and you got a beautiful weekend. But, folks, if you want to chime in and tell us who you think is going to win the series, my guess is it will lean Brewers, but give us a prediction. You could do that as well. 855-752-4842. Phone lines are open. You can also text us on the app or drop us a stream comment. Let us know who you think is going to win this Highway 94 series. Is that what they're calling it?
Yeah.
The I-94 series.
You know, I said whoever wins is like whatever state wins, the state that lost can't go
to the other states.
Can't go to the I-94.
Can't use I-94. You have to take 41 the whole way.
It's that's what we're battling for.
Let's get to some of your texts. Our question, once again, is what celebrity do people tell you look like? Or what celebrity do you want to look like? Edward from the 414 says, Eddie Mercury. I don't think so. Huge fan, though. That's kind of he's got a really unique look. You know what's funny? Rami Manick? Manuel. You know who I'm talking about. Malik. Played Freddie Mercury in the movie about Queen or about Freddie Mercury. I don't remember what it was called. And he put in, like, fake teeth. And I don't even think he needed them. Like, Rami Malek still, he has a look that's like that anyway. I thought that was too much. But he looks like Freddie Mercury. That's a good look, Edward. You could do a lot worse than Freddie Mercury. Well done. John from Columbia County says, Kevin Mazey. Who's that, Con?
That, I'm going to have to look
up. You
got to
go to the Google for that one, buddy. Stand by, John. We'll get confirmation. I want to know what John looks like. So if we can find Kevin Mazey. He's an athlete, isn't he?
I honestly can't find. Oh, Is he a trumpet player?
I put Matsy.
He looks
Kevin Mazey. Looks like a maestro.
Yeah, maestro.
That's very distinguished. Cool. Yeah, I'll take that. Very high class, John from Columbia County. Thank you, buddy. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids. He's in the 608. He says the unknown comic from the Gong Show. That was the guy that wore the bag over his head. Tyler says he's the spitting image. All right. Let us know. Keep those texts coming, folks. You can let us know who you think is going to win the Cubs-Brewers series. Have fun with it. We're going to be talking a little golf next. It's our last night for the Civic Media Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest, our multi-state contest. I'll give you the keyword after the news at the top of the hour and some more details, too, as we get closer to that. We are coming right back after the news and talking some golf. It's Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Eagle 1490 AM.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 1490 WLCX.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. A setback for the White House as a federal judge now prohibits the deployment of any state's National Guard to Oregon. ABC's Alex Stone reports.
The Trump-appointed federal judge who on Saturday said Oregon's National Guard was barred from being deployed by President Trump because his allegations of chaos in Portland and it being war-ravaged were, quote, simply untethered from the facts, end quote, was clearly frustrated as she held an emergency hearing on Sunday night. It came after the Trump administration tried to send into Portland National Guard troops from California and Texas instead.
Entering day six of the government shutdown, and there's still no movement on a funding deal. Democrats have been holding out on health care issues, looking to reverse recent cuts to Medicaid. Republicans say they're open to talking about it, but they want to vote on a short-term spending measure first. And negotiators are gathered in Egypt for indirect talks to end the war in Gaza. This is ABC News.
The Brewers and the Cubs tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from American Family Field, where it's game two of the National League Divisional Playoffs. The Brewers winning game one 9-3, but Jackson Churio had to leave with a hamstring injury. Pat Murphy on his status.
The MRI came back, and it's inconclusive, and it's not a serious hamstring strain.
The Brewers jumped out to a 6-1 lead in the first inning Saturday. Cubs manager Craig Counsell.
Look, the game got away from us early, so it's not like it did, right? It got away from us, so... And it's a loss, and you move on from it quickly. There's no penalty. It's one loss. Doesn't count for more how you lose. We didn't lose well, but we lost, and you move on. That's how the clubhouse felt.
NBA, the Bucks are in Miami for a preseason game against the Heat. Giannis is now with the team after a bout with COVID.
He took a toll on my body. I'm not feeling 100% yet physically. Take it day by day, get back in shape.
That's Giannis Antetokounmpo with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Peaky Blinders is the gift that keeps on giving to its loyal fans. Netflix and the BBC have announced that the popular show about the Shelby crime gang is getting a two-season sequel, according to Screen Rant. The period drama, created by Stephen Knight, will have 6 episodes in each season that will air on BBC One in the UK and Netflix worldwide. The new seasons will pick up after the Peaky Blinders movie, also written by Knight, called The Immortal Man. There is no release date yet for the film, which stars Cillian Murphy, Stephen Graham, and Rebecca Ferguson. There were rumors that the movie would be the end of the franchise, but that no longer appears to be the case. Knight says that the show will follow a new generation of Shelbys in the sequel. The Immortal Man will act as a bridge between the original show, which ran for 6 seasons, and the new iteration. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 1490 WLCX.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Mostly cloudy and much cooler today with scattered showers from time to time. Maybe a rumble of thunder as well. A high of only 63. A lingering shower possible this evening. Otherwise, mostly cloudy and crisp with a low of 43. Sunny and pleasant on Tuesday. A high of 65. Currently, it's 55 degrees.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Heather Williams, she's president of the Democratic Legislative Campaign Committee.
We have our spotlight races. We share them on our website. You can head to dlcc.org. And they are excellent places for people who want to get involved. And frankly, who know that we are not going to win this election on vibes. Like, we have to get out and do the work. And we must communicate with our neighbors, with our community. We must show up for people. Not only do they deserve it, but they expect it.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'll be joined by the incomparable, the indefatigable Congresswoman Gwen Moore, talking all things shut down and who really bears the responsibility. Hint, it's Trump.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
All right, welcome back. I'm Peach Wabba. This is Nightlight, a Friday night version, folks. It's the most fun night of the week, and it's great to have you here, although it is a long way on Monday. We'll have to count the days so we can get back on the air and talk about the things we love to talk about. But in the meantime, we still got a ways to go here tonight, and we've got two fun guests. It's a bar band Friday night. Terry Barr will be here at 7:30 with some great music tonight. She has outdone herself, and I know I say that every week, but I really mean it this week. She's never let us down. She's outstanding and fun to talk to. And right now, I'm very excited to welcome my next guest. This is the first time he's been on Nightlight, and he is a he's the executive director
yes.
of the Northeast Wisconsin chapter of First Tee, Mr. John Sabo. Hey, buddy.
Hello. How's it
nice
going?
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I saw you golfing out there on Washington Street tonight, and it's a tough course.
It's a tough course. It's the nice thing is if you can hit it straight, the ball goes for a mile. So
you
it
know,
just keeps bouncing.
I don't know if you know this. Conrad is an avid golfer.
That's true.
He went out yesterday.
I did.
It was freezing yesterday. It was like 65 out.
Actually, it was beautiful.
I'll say it was beautiful yesterday. Yeah.
Well, compared to today, it was a little chilly. But Conrad loves to golf. You're a big fan of golf. Let's get to know you a little bit first, John, here before we jump into First Tee. So, first of all, do people tell you you look like a celebrity?
I look like Elf for Will Ferrell from the movie.
Oh, Elf.
Before the long beard. And the most recent one is I get UConn Cornelius a lot.
Who is that? UConn Cornelius.
From the old animation Christmas movies.
Yeah.
And the Island of Misfit
awesome.
Toys.
Awesome. That's a great one.
So I've dressed up as that for Christmas parties before with and got my buddies to dress up as Misfit Toys. So it's been
what a fun.
It's pretty fun.
That's outstanding. Well, our mutual friend Brad introduced us, and I know he's a golf fan, so I assume you are too, obviously. And you sound like you found a really great gig for someone who loves golf at First Tee. Tell us, first of all, a little bit about First Tee. What does First Tee do and what is it?
So First Tee, what we do is we are part of a national or international organization, actually. So there are three chapters in the state of Wisconsin. We have one primarily here in the Green Bay area, one in the Milwaukee area, and then one in the Madison area. So what we do is we provide youth development through the game of golf. So we have a life skills curriculum that basically teaches kids how to handle life's challenges, all while teaching them a game they can play their entire life. So it's a pretty cool gig, like you said, because you get to be on a golf course most days and you get to work with kids. So it's all about basically teaching. We call them our five key commitments, stuff like good judgment, collaborating with others. Basically, it's all about how do we create good human beings, all while teaching them something really cool where they don't necessarily understand it. Because they think they're just learning golf, but really they're learning things that they can take them through their entire life.
Yeah, that's really cool. And I like what you said about you could play it for the rest of your life. I remember some of the sports we played as kids. It's like you just stop when you're 18 or even sooner. And golf, tennis, some of these sports you can play and keep doing them and be active. That's what I love about golf. Like I wish I had played golf more when I was younger. It's a great game. So what does First Tee, is it a non-for-profit or how does that work?
Yeah, we're a non-for-profit. So what we do is we run classes throughout the year. So we're fortunate that a couple of years ago we opened a indoor facility out at Mid Valley Golf Course, our Trinks Learning Center. So that allows us to offer the programming year round. So what we do is our busiest time of the year is obviously during the summer. So right now we're just wrapping up classes.
Yeah.
But we offer essentially how we structure our programming is we do month long classes. It's typically twice a week for the month of, let's say, June or July. And then it's all priced affordably so that anyone can do it. So we never turn anyone down. We have scholarships available for those that don't can't afford it. We have equipment available for all kids that need equipment.
Nice.
And then as we kind of recycle through our equipment, we actually provide that equipment to kids at like a buck a club. So you can get a full set of clubs for like 10 bucks.
Wow.
And then we are really fortunate that we have donors that come in. I've got gallons of golf balls. So the kids can come in, get golf balls. You never have to worry about paying for golf balls, stuff like that. And then we also, they get involved through school programs. So we have another schools that reach out to us. For instance, Bayview Middle School up in Howard Swamico just got done doing a month-long golf program with their PE classes. So we provide training for their PE teachers and then the equipment, and they can just kind of run with it. And then all those kids get exposed to the great game, which is pretty cool.
So how does it teach, what is it about golf that kids take away that they can use their whole life? To me, pardon me, playing golf, like, I'm terrible under pressure. If there's a big putt, I know I'm going to miss it. I psych myself out. What is it, though? Is it just keeping your cool when you hit a bad shot? Is it being out in the sun? I mean, what values do you teach the kids through golf?
There's so many different things with the game of golf that you can relate to real life.
Okay.
So if you think about a round of golf, you're going to have great shots. You're going to have bad shots. You're going to go through the gamut of emotions. So the first thing it kind of teaches kids is, how do we handle those emotions? How do we handle the high highs and the low lows? And how do we handle it when it can all happen within 15 minutes of each other?
Yeah, right.
So it's, you know, teaching the kids that, okay, those great moments, how do we have them respectfully? Because we have our competitors with us. And how do we handle those moments when we're not playing well and we have to focus and reset ourselves so that we can not let it affect the rest of our round? So similar to in life, if we have a bad day, how do we reset, recognize it, and then figure out, okay, how do I change my mindset? How do I go, that happened. Now what do I do to move forward so that I can still have a great day?
And not let it derail your whole game.
Exactly.
Yeah, which is very similar to life. You know, you make one small mistake, you lose your temper, and it snowballs. You know, that's how golf can be.
Exactly. And with golf, it's a lot of etiquette as well. So there's no referees. It's all self-policing.
Yeah.
You call your own penalties, basically. So it's that etiquette. It's that honesty that you are taking with you then when, oh, did I really do that?
Yeah.
Or did I, you know, what we talk a lot about is respect. So that's part of our core curriculum, and respecting the golf course, leaving it in a better condition than it was before. But then how do you take that into your classroom? How do you respect your siblings? How does that work with your parents? And it's pretty cool because at times, we typically talk about it during class, we integrate it, and then kids will come back and say, oh, Coach John, like, I, you know, my parents told me to do this and I did it right away. Is that a good example of respect? And it's like, yes, you're respecting your parents by not having them have to ask you 30 times to do something.
Right.
So it's those things that are, like I said, we seamlessly integrate them into the instruction. So the kids are not fully, I would say, it's not thrown in their face. Like, oh, you have to learn this. It's really, oh, let's go learn golf. And in the process, you're learning really cool things that are just awesome to do.
That's so great. My guest is John Sabo. He is the executive director of First Tee, the Northeast Wisconsin chapter. They do great things for kids, teaching them the game of golf and the game of life. Have you ever thrown a club?
Ooh, yes, I have.
In front of the kids.
Not in front of the kids. So, yeah, but again, great example. Okay, I've got to learn to control my emotions, learn how to do it. And we do it as an example of what not to do on a golf course.
Right.
It's a good teaching experience for the kids.
That's excellent. How old were you when you started playing golf?
I started playing golf probably around 3 years old, I think was the first time that
gosh.
I started playing. So it's been a few years.
It's
pretty much been part of my life the entire time. I've loved playing.
What's your like handicap? What do you?
So right now I'm at about a 4.5. So good enough to stay in trouble and be competitive, but also on any given day could have a really high number, which just makes the game even more humbling.
I don't know when it happened for me, but I played as a kid, and most of the time in northern Wisconsin, like golf courses that were not that great, you know, they were kind of sandy and like, yeah, hard ground. And then I played at Chicago public courses where they have the mats and you put the tee in. And that's so I never have played. But a few years ago, I hadn't golfed in years. A friend of mine and Brad McCarville, our mutual friend, was there. He and our other friend Tom were in one cart, and I was in another cart with another guy. There was four of us. And the guy I was with, I'm not going to name him, but was hammered. And he lined up a shot and hit the shot without, like, kind of clocking where the other guys were. John, I'm not kidding. The ball went between the bars of the cart and their faces. They almost died. And then we had a talking to him. But Brad might not be here. So I'm glad he made it through that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad too. Brad's one of our top coaches. We can't lose him.
Is he one of the coaches?
Yeah, he's one of our coaches. He actually volunteers every Tuesday night throughout the summer. And then he also does it all the way through the winter as well. So he's our Tuesday night coach. And he is wonderful with the kids. And it's a blessing to have him. So it was great when he reached out and said, "Hey, John, I want to get involved." I'm like, "Oh, you are perfect."
Did you know him already?
I did. Okay. He went to high school with my mom.
Oh, wow.
So he's a pretty old guy.
Yeah. I could see. That's good to know because Brad used to have the reputation. They used to call him the Bob Knight of kids golf coaching. So I'm glad he worked his stuff out. And
he did. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We keep him under wraps. So keep
Conrad, him in the middle. 4.5 handicap good? What does that mean?
Yeah.
4.5 under the par?
That's above par, right?
It's above par. Yeah.
Okay. That's still good.
So it's mid 70s.
I don't listen. And I'm saying this like because I'm curious because like my wife and I are at the age where, you know, both of our kids are mostly out of the house. It's like she's like, "What are we going to do?" Like, I don't know. Golf. So she wants to take up golf now. And I'm not that good. And I mean, she's probably better than me. But
so one of
is it too late to learn?
Oh, it's never too late.
Okay.
One of the best systems that I ever heard was playing with a guy. And it was awesome. It was me, my dad, him, and he's just like, we asked him, like, "Oh, what'd you get? And he's like, "I don't really go by score. I give myself more of a letter grade. So I'd say about a C- on that one." And it's just perfect. It's like, that's just awesome. It's like, oh.
It's so funny because when I would golf, like, at my grandma's cottage up in Three Lakes, my dad has a big family, and they're kind of big age ranges. And I had a couple uncles that used to golf barefoot. They used to have a beer in their hand. And it was, I mean, you're talking laid back, like the 1970s. Does anybody still golf like that? Like, it seems like the sport has evolved into this sort of elitist. And I know a lot of golfers don't want to hear that because I don't think all of them are like that. But you don't see a lot of people casually. You don't see a lot of high tops and tank tops out on the golf courses anymore.
I think courses have reeled it in a little bit, but you definitely still see it. If you go to some of the courses, you'll still see the barefoots, the tank tops, the burning the heater and drinking the beers, and so it's still out there. But I would say golf has just gotten more fun. I think it's in the aspect COVID was great for golf, and people just they enjoy it more, so they're
trying. Yeah,
you get to be outside. Yeah.
So how did you get involved with First Tee? Like, what were you doing before you did this? I would imagine this is a full-time job, right?
Yes, this is a full-time job for me. So what I was doing, so I've been involved with our particular chapter probably on and off for about more than 5 years, about 10 years now. So I started out one of the previous chair for the board reached out to me and asked if I wanted to get involved in volunteer coaching. So at the time I was working for St. Norbert College.
Okay.
So he knew I loved golf. And so I started volunteering. And then I eventually worked my way onto the board. And then I ended up taking a new job up in Door County. So I was kind of a little ways away. And I'm like, I need to step down from the board. I had my first son and it was awesome. It's a blessing. And then I decided to step away for a little bit just to, because we were kind of far away from family, and then got the call, and I'm like, this would be awesome.
Now you're in your dream gig.
So now I'm in my dream gig.
All right, let's pick up there. We're going to do a very short break. We're coming right back with John Sabo from First Tee Northeast Wisconsin. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Connect.
connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at hazeldenbettyford.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Is violent crime in the U.S. higher than 25 years ago? No. Violent crime is lower nationally and in major cities than 25 years ago, according to FBI and Justice Department data. In 2023, cities with 250,000 or more people reported 771 violent crimes per 100,000 residents, down from 1,093 in 2000. Nationally, violent crime has stayed below 400 incidents per 100,000 residents for a decade, compared to about 500 in the late 1990s. Pew Research reported a 49% drop in violent crime, which includes murder, rape, robbery, and aggravated assault, since 1993. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When was the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Derek Van Orden over on our Facebook page jumped into our comment section. Derek Van Orden can get as snooty as he wants with reporters. He can get as confrontational in comment sections. He can use all the cuss words that he wants. And he said 18 U.S. Code subsection 2331. Look it up. Well, we did. It doesn't cover social media posts that make a congressman get his fees all hurt.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
My sweet love, ooh, my love, my sweet love.
Welcome back to Nightlight. Oh, man, we're going to have fun reading these texts. We're getting more action on the Cubs-Brewers than we are on the question of the night, but we'll have fun with all of that.
What is the score for the Cubs-Brewers game right now?
Tomorrow they start.
Oh, tomorrow.
So, okay, yeah, we just asked people for, like, a prediction, you know, assuming, like, I'm a Cubs fan, but
I'm sorry.
I know a lot of people are going to be, like, leaning Brewers, which is fine. You know, Con and I talk about this semi-regularly, but Tom from New Berlin says, Peter learning golf. You're going to get frustrated. Okay, thank you, Tom. Yeah. Thanks for the faith.
That is probably the most accurate statement of the night.
Listen, I play Wii Golf, and I find that frustrating at some point. But I actually love Wii Golf. Have you ever played?
Yeah, it's a ton of fun.
It's outstanding.
I'm not very good at it, but it's fun.
That's the only I think I'm good at Wii Golf, and it would probably end there. And you talk about COVID, like, to be out, you know, what a great game to find during COVID, because where I live in Marinette, a friend of ours came back. He was living in Oakland at the time, and he said, we got to play this game. It's called soccer golf, and we all have our own ball. So it was like COVID friendly. You know, we kick it to a tree, and John, I am not lying to you. I cannot believe how frustrated that game. Like, you'll miss like a soccer ball on a tree this big, and you'll miss it, and it'll drive you bananas, just like real golf.
Oh, yeah. That's like if you ever get the chance to play a big cup tournament, the cup is about five times or six times the size of a standard cup.
Oh, really?
And it is the most frustrating thing in the world because you can't comprehend how hard it is to still miss a putt. And, like, how do you lip out a cup that's 12 inches around? Like, it's frustrating.
That is frustrating. All right, you guys have some upcoming events. I know that you talked about some fundraisers. You want to tell us about those?
Yeah, we got a couple cool fundraisers that are coming up. One right now, we're doing a Pebble Beach raffle. So what that entitles is it's $100 a ticket. We sell a max of 400 tickets. Wow. And the winner receives 4 rounds of golf at Pebble Beach, 4 rounds of golf at Spyglass, and then 2 3-night stays at the Spanish Inn. So it's pretty cool. Basically, all you got to do is get yourself out there, pay Uncle Sam because he loves to get his cut,
sure.
And then just enjoy yourself. So last year, we only sold 170 tickets, so your odds were pretty good.
Okay.
And the winners, wow. It was actually a group of 4 guys that went in and all bought kind of tickets together. So that group is heading out there in November, I believe that is the date they took. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's fortunately for me, it's one of my board members, which was awesome. And I'm like, you're going to be doing some live streaming and promotion of this event for us. So enjoy.
Conrad, can you scrape together $100? That sounds like something right up your alley, right?
Yeah, I would say so.
Perfect.
Okay. $100.
Yeah. And then the other event we have, our biggest fundraiser of the year, is our Soup and Suds event that happens January 30th. It's at the Oneida Casino Hotel, and we get the local beer distributors together. So last year we had about 85 different craft beers, and then about 18 restaurants came and supplied different samples, everything from soups, obviously, okay. It's Soup and Suds, to sliders, to desserts, all sorts of different things. It's about $50 a ticket.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, and it's right at the casino, so you can come gamble. We've got a huge silent auction. 50-50 raffle, and it turns out to be an awesome night. And we'll have we're working out the details yet, but we'll have stay and play packages, stuff like that, so you can stay right there at the casino, enjoy yourself at the event, stay there, try to win some money. Hopefully you win some money and you come back and spend it with us. So two great fundraisers that we're selling tickets. You can find that information on our website at firsttnew.org.
Outstanding. That's the voice of John Sabo. He is the executive director of the Northeast Wisconsin chapter of First Tee. They've reached over 10 million, or they've had over 10 million participants. You've actively engaged 20,000 volunteers. And I love that you try to make golf affordable for people who don't have the means, because it's not a cheap sport. Like, all sports are getting expensive because you got travel teams and all that stuff. But
yes,
golf, a greens fee is not cheap. So that's nice that you guys make an effort to include everybody, too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And like I said, we have scholarships available for anyone because we never want to turn anyone away.
Yeah.
So that's the biggest thing. And one great thing about golf that is, I think, different from team sports or other sports is the ability to, as we talk about, I'm a pretty good golfer, you're so-so, but we can have a ton of fun together playing
if you
have the right attitude. Whereas if I'm a really good basketball player and you're a really terrible basketball player, it's probably not going to be that enjoyable. So it brings people together of all abilities that they can have fun, enjoy it. So it's pretty cool.
It's only so many times you can get dunked on before you're going to go, you know what, this isn't very fun. All right, two quick questions before we let you go, John. It's been really fun. Thank you for making the drive up from Appleton. It was great to meet you. Favorite golfer?
Ooh, good question. I would say Rory McIlroy. I'm a huge Rory fan. I just love what he's done for the game of golf, and I think he's a ton of fun to watch. And Scotty. I mean, top two players in the world, so it's kind of a no-brainer answer, but they're both a ton of fun, and I think they are bringing the right attitude and the right demeanor to the game.
Conrad, who is Scotty?
Scotty Scheffler.
Scotty Scheffler.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just trying to act like I know.
The Scheffler Shuffle.
I worked on a comedy sports show years ago, and we had John Daly on. That was a trip.
Ooh.
He was a guest star, and he had a little trouble with his lines, but it was fun. And last thing, we've got about, I would say, a minute. Okay. John, favorite golf movie?
I'd have to say there's two. Obviously, the original Happy Gilmore is just, you got to go there. I love what they try to do with the second one. It's entertaining, but you just can't beat the original. And probably The Legend of Bagger Vance. It's one of those.
Nice.
It's a golf movie. It's just a different style. It's more of the
Will Smith, right?
Will Smith, Matt Damon.
And Matt Damon, yeah.
And Charlie, I can't remember pronounce her last name. But just kind of a different twist on golf and the aspect of more of the mental side of it and how golf can really bring you back. There's so many good ones.
Come back before you do that big fundraiser after the first of the year.
I'd love to talk again.
This has been fun, John. Thank you very much. John Sabo, ladies and gentlemen, check out First Tee. They do great stuff. We're coming right back after intermission for Act Two, and I'm going to give you the keyword to our Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight, a Friday night Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. One day before the two-year anniversary of the attack that ignited the war in Gaza, delegations from Israel, Hamas, and the U.S. are convening in Egypt to discuss a ceasefire.
As part of a U.S. brokered peace proposal, in addition to releasing hostages, Hamas agreeing to hand over the administration of the Gaza Strip to a Palestinian body with support from Arab nations. In return, Israel would withdraw its military from Gaza completely and release Palestinian prisoners.
ABC's Nicole D'Antonio. A federal judge has blocked the Trump administration from sending National Guard troops from any state to Portland, Oregon. Illinois also fighting a move by the Trump White House to deploy troops to Chicago. It's a first Monday in October, which means the Supreme Court begins its new term today with questions about birthright citizenship and voting rights on the docket. NFL analyst Mark Sanchez facing multiple charges and recovering in an Indianapolis hospital after an altercation over a parked vehicle in that city. This is ABC News.